With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, folks, it's a Sunday. That means it's time to jump into the Ben Shapiro Show mailbag. Remember, you have to be a Daily Wire Plus subscriber to have your question answered. So go subscribe right now. Sam says, hey, Ben, I'm 31 years old, not married. Although I'd like to be. Living in a small town, I'm not sure how to find someone who'd be right, the right match for me. That said, in talking to a therapist recently, I said I don't feel like I can be a whole person until I find a wife. And while she agreed I should find someone, she said I need to be a whole and happy person regardless of relationship status. I'm wondering what your thoughts on the matter are. Thanks. Well, I mean, I think that you guys are probably speaking at cross purposes. So your therapist is saying that you shouldn't make your entire life happiness and ability to thrive in society dependent on finding a partner right now, or again, you are going to have a tough time. However, what you're saying is obviously correct in the sense that you are not going to be a full person until you get married. I mean, that is just the way of the world. You are supposed to get married. It is a good thing for people to get married. And the notion that a man and a woman shall become one flesh is ingrained in biblical morality. It also happens to be ingrained in human biology. So, you know, you're not wrong that your life will be more complete and you'll be more of a complete person with a wife. However, what your therapist is basically saying is that it is an unhealthy mentality to go forward thinking of all the things that you're missing in your life. It's going to make you less likely to find the person you're likely to marry if you seem like you're not self-sufficient or like you're needy or like you have some serious problems. Bananan says, why is the truth so important? I'm an 18-year-old student from Finland. I recently argued with one of my liberal friends about transgenderism, and during the debate, my friend asked me, why is the truth so important? And I found myself in a difficult situation because I didn't expect to have to defend the importance of truth itself. How can one answer such a question? I mean, the answer to that question is because we can't have a conversation if truth is not important to you. Like, you literally cannot have a conversation with a person who believes that lying is equivalent to the truth or that untruth is equivalent to the truth. There's no common basis for even the meaning of words at that point. There's no objective argument that can be made. What is the point of even speaking to people? Truth is the underlying value that allows people to communicate with one another. If we're all just lying to each other all of the time, then what exactly is the point of conversation? What is the point of having a society at all? I mean, you're essentially just, you know, walled off in your own bubble, like John Travolta in The Bubble Boy at that point. Bradley says, hey, Ben, with the rise of AI, do you have any advice on what skills to learn to remain competitive in the job market? What types of jobs will remain as AI continues to grow? I'm nervous I won't have the necessary skills or intelligence to remain competitive. I think everybody right now is worried about what exactly is going to happen as AI continues to grow. I don't know, because I think that anybody who claims they know what's going to happen next with AI is engaging in a failure of imagination. What I will say is fluency with the ability to use AI will definitely be one of the things that is useful about AI, meaning getting familiar with the technology, actually figuring what prompts work, for example, in AI. That's an actual skill set. You know, figuring out creative solutions in business that allow for the possibility of synergies between different sectors. That is going to be, anything that is feelings oriented is probably going to be of higher value once AI takes over, because again, human beings have the capacity to express sympathy in a way that machines simply do not, at least not physically. So, you know, there will be areas, but I don't think all of that's going to be clear. Let's put it this way. I think that truck driving is in serious trouble, for example, as an industry. I think that logistics is in serious trouble as an industry. I think that mid-level lawyering is in serious trouble as an industry. Anything that requires you to better understand human beings than AI does, that is where the money is going to be made. Jeffrey says, hey, Ben, is Haley and Scott running the best case scenario or worst case scenario for DeSantis in South Carolina? I mean, obviously, it's not good for DeSantis in South Carolina for both Haley and Scott to be in the race. In fact, there's a new poll out today showing that right now the breakdown of that primary looks like Trump 38, DeSantis 23, Haley 15, Scott 10. So that's 25 points that's being taken off the board by Haley and Scott in South Carolina. Now, do I think it's going to last all that way to the primary? I doubt it. But is that good for DeSantis? I can't imagine it is. And some of those votes from Haley or Scott presumably would go over to Trump, but I would imagine a larger number would probably go over to DeSantis. Chris says, hey, Ben, my wife and I are trying for our first baby. We're considering homeschooling our kids when the time comes. I'd like for them to be raised with a classical education that emphasizes Western ideals like individualism, free market economics, limited government, and human property rights. At the same time, neither my wife and I are very religious. Much of what exists in regards to teaching kids is a classical curriculum appears to be really Christian fundamentalism. I understand the Western tradition was heavily influenced by Judeo-Christian values. I don't mind teaching our kids some religious teachings as one component of a well-rounded education. At the same time, I want our kids to think critically and to believe in, you know, dinosaurs and evolution and stuff. Is there anything you could recommend in regards to a classical curriculum that's not so ideological or doctrinaire in nature? Is there a term for a private school that teaches such things? Thanks for your help. So first of all, I think this notion that private religious schools are not teaching that evolution is real or that dinosaurs are real, that's not true. So I went to a religious Orthodox day school and they taught evolution. They taught about dinosaurs. Yeah, again, that sort of stuff that there are obviously religious schools that won't, but I think that is less common than you probably think it is. As far as homeschooling curriculum, Hillsdale College, I believe, has a K-12 curriculum that is more classical in orientation. There are several other organizations that do something similar. Anonymous says, hey, Ben, I'm writing to you because I saw your episode on the problems with porn. I couldn't agree more. I'm an 18-year-old man who's about to graduate high school. I've been trying to quit porn for years. Unfortunately, I still have a problem. I have a sense that in order to quit porn, I'm going to have to find something in life more engaging than the porn, but this has proven difficult. Is there any advice you can give me? I hate that one part of me wants to wait for marriage and find a good conservative girl. Another part of me loves porn and wants to pursue casual sex in college. So first of all, the part of you that loves porn and wants to pursue casual sex in college, that is just the lizard brain part of you. Okay, that's true for all men. All men would like to pursue casual sex. That's what the testosterone does. Okay, just real world. That's true in great apes. It's true in you. Okay, as far as the higher desire to find a good conservative girl and get married, that is you channeling your baser instincts toward something higher. As far as addiction to pornography, the only way to get over it, it's not that you have to find something quote unquote better than pornography. The answer is you can't do it. Okay, you're going to have to find prophylactic measures of preventing yourself from seeing that stuff. So you're going to have to put web filters on it and make the web filter on your computer answerable to a friend, somebody you trust, a therapist, a parent, right? Somebody else who is not you. So you don't actually have the capacity to view that sort of stuff. You're going to have to prophylactically restrict your access to internet websites on your phone. You're going to have to do all of these things to stop yourself. Just like any other addiction, you have to stop yourself from accessing the actual material in order to prevent yourself from thinking about that sort of stuff. Now, are you always going to succeed? No. But every day that you succeed is a day that you're not failing. And that's the way to think about pornography. Trying to pretend that it's sort of like saying somebody is addicted to cocaine. What I really need is something that's going to give me a better high than cocaine. Well, good luck with that. What you really need to do is not take the cocaine. And Will says, hey, Ben, with how much division there is in the country, I feel there are truly only two ways to end it. Either we peacefully agree to split the country in some fashion with terms to defend one another from anyone who would try to attack us, or another civil war. I'm curious if you think there's any realistic way of uniting the country anymore at this point. Again, I think federalism is the only solution. A revised version of federalism in which states are able to do basically what they want within their own purviews is the only way you're going to have any sort of agreement. And there's a conversation I had with Anna Kasparian. We basically agreed to disagree on this. I said, you want to live in California? Good. But let me Florida my Florida. I want California my Florida. And if you don't want me Florida in your California, good news. I left. Haley says, my husband and I were watching Jewish Matchmaking on Netflix this past week, and we're wondering if you've seen the show, and if so, what your thoughts are like. Was any part similar to your dating experience? How do you think Judaism was portrayed on the show? So I actually have not watched this show, so I'll have to take a look, I suppose, and then evaluate the accuracy of it. Matthew says, I was wondering as to which principles you use when making the choice of either voting for the lesser of two evils or not voting on that portion of the ballot and filling out the rest of it. This is a great question. In 2016, I didn't vote at the top of the ballot. The reason I didn't vote at the top of the ballot was twofold. One, I thought that it was important as a voice in the conservative movement to signify that I did not approve of either of these candidates. And if Trump won, then great. And if Trump lost, then it was important that there are people who say that, you know, I didn't like things about his character. I didn't think that, he ran a particularly good campaign and that the Republicans should do better next time. And withholding a vote is a form of vote for against both parties. You know, I didn't recommend anybody vote for Hillary Clinton, God forbid. So, you know, that is one argument. Now, if I'd been living, I was also living in California where my vote made no difference. If I'd been like the deciding vote on the election, right? It comes down, it's like 75 million Americans have voted for Hillary, 75 million Americans have voted for Trump. How do you vote? I vote for Trump. I don't abstain. But, you know, the math changes based on who you are, based on where you live. I was living in California. It wasn't a swing state. It's a little bit complex. All righty, we've reached the end of this mailbag. So we'll see you here tomorrow. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.